Hello and welcome to another episode of Could It Be Podcast. Today we're sharing Jenny's story. Now, if you're in the US, you may have heard of Jenny. She is the founder of Go Forth Wellness, which is a holistic approach to health and well-being. She has 20 years of experience in the fitness industry and she has been through her own explant surgery. So she shares her story around getting implants and her symptoms and all the way through to explant. Now, hopefully we've lined it up well, but around the time of releasing this episode, Go Forth Wellness are releasing an explant program. And based on Jenny's care and passion for fitness and health in the people around her, I have no doubt that it's going to be amazing. So give her a follow. I'll pop her details in the show notes just in case you are interested in that program. I think it's going to be really amazing and help us to take the steps to heal post-explant. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Here is Jenny's story. Hello, Jenny. Welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here.
I'm very glad to have you here. Would you like to start by telling us a little bit about yourself and where you're joining us from today?
Yes. So I am in the US near Nashville, Tennessee, and I have quite the background of careers. I feel like I've lived a million different lives, but I primarily have done fitness for more than 20 years now. And so I work with women primarily and coaching them through all kinds of things from, you know, major weight loss to mindset shifts, nutrition, and of course the workouts.
Beautiful. Would you like to tell us your initial breast implant story?
Sure. So I got my implants 15 years ago, and I did that because growing up, I was always insecure. I had nothing. So I kept waiting. I know when I hit puberty and all my friends were developing, I kept thinking, okay, it's going to be me next. And I felt like it never happened. So of course, you know, back then I was just insecure, you know, about wearing certain clothes or putting on a swimsuit and that kind of thing. I almost got implants when I was 18 and I kind of chickened out because I had this battle inside of, you know, do I want to put something foreign in my body and, you know, or I'm just happy with how God made me. So I went back and forth with it, didn't get them at 18, but at 23, I decided that I really did want them. I was at a place where I was confident with my body at that point. I loved my body, but I was also moving heavily into the fitness industry. And so I was surrounded with women getting implants.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, it's so normal there, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And, you know, I remember I started a new job, personal training at a gym. And I asked her, you know, can I schedule this surgery? I know I just started, but I'm going to need some time off to get this surgery. And they were all for it. They were like, yes, every trainer here has been through it. You can take as much time as you need, take a whole week off if you need. So, you know, I was just excited at the time to be able to fill out clothes and to feel a little bit more confident in myself. So I went with it. And for years, I told people, this is the best decision I ever made. I didn't go crazy big, so I looked very natural. I felt like I looked the way I was supposed to be. Looking back, and I know a lot of people talk about this, looking back now, I can see shifts in my body, shifts in my hormones. A year after I got them, I was diagnosed with PCOS. I was told that I may never have kids or that I would definitely struggle getting pregnant, but I never correlated it. And it's hard to say now that that's what happened. It just so happened it was right after I got the implants.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, what were the signs that you had PCOS? Because I've been through the same. I was told by a gynecologist, so a specialist, that because I had a whole heap of cysts on my ovary that I had it, there were no other tests done.
Right.
And I don't think I've got them anymore. I think since explanting, they're gone.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had cysts all over my ovaries. My periods were hit or miss. So I would go months without them, or if I did have a period, it would last forever. So they were just, my cycle was all of a sudden off. And I had been very normal previous to getting the implants. And I think that so many doctors, you know, when I was diagnosed with PCOS, no one had heard of it. And in fact, the doctor that diagnosed me said, you have polycystic ovarian disease and you should go research this. So then I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm young. I'm told I might not have kids. This could affect it, you know, and I was told just to go look it up. And there's all kinds of crazy things, you know, on the internet. So That was some of my symptoms with that. And I feel like through the years I had to battle with hormones and PCOS and my cycle and that kind of thing.
What were your other symptoms apart from like the hormonal side of things?
Yeah. So mostly with the PCOS, but the low energy. So what happened 3 years ago is I gave birth right at 39. And after I had my daughter, we were in a pandemic. Shortly after I had her, I got COVID. And then I got COVID again. And then it seemed like every week there was something else. My whole body after I gave birth was so swollen. And I kept thinking, okay, I'm going to give my body grace. You know, I'm a trainer. I know how to eat right and do all the things. So this might take time. Like I'm not going to bounce back like people say they do. I'm going to give my body time and, you know, just try to heal. But I felt so inflamed that it was unnatural. Like I looked 9 months pregnant for 2 years where I, you know, and as a trainer, that's really difficult, but I would go out and people would ask me when I was due. And I'm like, no, I had my baby 2 years ago now. Yeah. And so I worked online for a fitness company. So I wasn't having to coach people and see people in person, but I was struggling. And I kept thinking, you know, something must have gone wrong during the birth. So I go back to my OBGYN and she agreed. She was like, I don't know what's wrong with your stomach. She goes, but I think you need antidepressants. And I said, no, I know that, you know, the postpartum thing, you know, I was dealing with that and struggling with being a mom and working and also having a toddler. But I said, you know, I am depressed because I can't figure out why I'm so inflamed. Like something is wrong. So that was the start of me going to doctor after doctor, natural doctors, regular doctors, specialists, running all kinds of tests to see what was going on. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, we spent thousands of dollars on supplements and coaches and, you know, trying to figure it out and nothing changed. And almost every single one of them, especially in the natural world, said you need to detox. Like there's something you got to detox. So I was doing all kinds of detox protocols and my symptoms, you know, I kept getting sick, like I said before, with the COVID multiple times, and it would be a flu. Or one morning I literally woke up and couldn't see out my eye and it looked like someone hit me. This happened overnight.
Yeah.
And you can't make this up. Like I, within the past 2 years, had gone to the ER 4 or 5 times for random things, you know, blood in my urine or the eye thing. And there wasn't a week that I woke up and just felt great. And all of that, I was trying to get the inflammation down and the weight down and, you know, my energy up and doing all the things I knew to do. And I kept feeling worse. And it got to a point where I literally felt like an 80-year-old woman that stayed sick all the time. You know, my husband knew me as the goal setter and the person that was always up and energized. And there were days where he was like, are you going to get up today? Are you going to try to go work out? And, you know, if I did go work out, I felt like I was going to pass out. So I could not figure out what happened, you know? And like I said, at first I thought it was the birth, and then 2.5 years come and I'm like getting worse every day, you know, walking up the stairs, my joints hurt. I just felt so inflamed. And I listened to a podcast one day after seeing so many doctors, spending thousands of dollars, having zero answers and zero results. And I found a doctor named Stephen Cabral. And I thought, he's the smartest person I've listened to. He's got a podcast on every illness. And I don't know how, but I'm going to get to this doctor because I don't know who else to go to. So, and I told my husband that. I said, I know it's crazy. I don't even know who this person is, but I feel like I need to get to him. So I did some research and I found that he has practitioners under him and they run labs and they work with you. And so I hired one and they sent me a free lab for signing up and buying a lab. So one of the labs was a gut bacteria because I'm thinking I'm so swollen, something's wrong with my gut.
Yep.
And then the other lab was a heavy metal hair analysis test, which I didn't even think I needed, but I was like, well, I'll do it. I'll send it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
My gut bacteria came back fine. The heavy metal came back alarming. And so much so that the practitioner said, I personally went to Dr. Stephen Cabral because I've never seen labs like this. and I'm not sure what I'm looking at. This is not, you know, aluminum in your deodorant or metals in your cookware. This is something that you've like ingested. It's in you. And so I stuck with her with some protocols. And as I was doing some heavier detoxes, I had started developing rashes under my armpits, going all down the sides of my body. Mm-hmm. And then I developed a smell that literally smelled like death right under my armpits.
Same.
Yeah. And I know so many women say they get that after the fact.
Yes.
I think my body was just trying to get rid of it. It was the worst rashes. I went to a dermatologist, and then I'm on antifungal cream and all kinds of things that helped for a little bit. And then it came back with vengeance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was talking to my husband one night and I said, there is something in me that I cannot detox. Like, I just cannot feel better. So I go to sleep that night and I literally heard God say, it's your implants, get them out. And I get emotional about it because it was like, I hadn't thought about it. I'd heard women having issues with them. And I thought, well, that's not me. I've always been fine with mine.
Yeah.
And I woke up the next day and I said to my husband, I'm getting them removed. That's what it is. And he was like, are you sure? Like, that's what you heard? He goes, you're getting them replaced or just out? And I'm like, no, I think out. So that week I scheduled an ultrasound and found a rupture in the right one. And it was not only out of the implant, but leaking through the capsule as well. Right. And it was silicone.
Yeah.
Which would explain all the rashes and the funk and everything going on in that area. And the crazy thing is my breast had been sore for a good year and a half. And I kept thinking it was just hormonal and I overlooked it because I didn't have time to think about that too. You know, and then it dawned on me, something's wrong. Like, they actually hurt. That's not normal to have to wear a sports bra all the time.
Yeah.
I got to a point where, I mean, I didn't even care about them because they hurt so bad and I had so many issues going on. But I found out that week that it was a rupture, and it was just confirmation for me that I heard the right thing. This has to come out. You know, regardless if that is what's causing all of this, they still have to come out. That's what brought me to having them out.
Yeah, definitely. That's like a completely different story to what I've heard, but like, that's so amazing that you sort of came to that.
And I do have women that reach out to me literally on a weekly basis. And they're like, you know, how did you know? And I'm like, well, I mean, I feel like God really told me, but you have to listen, you know, to what's inside you, to your gut, do your research, get in these groups. Mm. Because once I did enter the groups, I saw women who would wake up with their eyes swelling. And I'm like, that was me. You know, just your immune system is so shot. You know, I couldn't recover from anything. So I stayed sick over and over and over. But yeah. I started seeing women with the same things, the rashes all over that looked just like mine.
Yeah, it's crazy. And when you were talking about the fact that you're getting sick all of the time, there was this, for me, it was the same. There was one year where I had, like, I'll normally get one or two colds a year and that's it. Like, I've normally got a pretty good immune system. I worked in the fitness industry like yourself. I moved then into like a call center type environment. So I'm always around a lot of people. So I built my immune system up. And then suddenly one year I was sick with four or five colds, and it was like every month, and even outside of winter here. So like, I was like, oh, what's going on? There was someone that sat next to me at work that bragged about the fact that she would come into work when she was sick. I was like, well, like, that's not something to brag about. But obviously, like, in a normal situation, I would have been able to fight that off. But my immune system was so shot, thanks to my implants, that I was getting sick so often. So it definitely impacts your immune system for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So what were the next steps for you, like going to like find a surgeon and the process that you sort of went through to get to explanting?
Yeah, I immediately got into the BII groups, and there's a group for Nashville where I live. And I started looking at all the doctors, you know, that people were recommending. And there was one that's like 10 minutes from me that people are flocking to him from out of state. And I just kind of knew, you know, I'm really good about listening to what God's telling me, or, you know, how I feel about things. And I just knew like he was the one. He had a surgical office that, you know, I didn't have to go to a hospital. I could do it right there. And I met with him and his team and felt so confident. I mean, that's all he's doing now is explants.
Wow.
So, and I was able to schedule it right away. So within a month, I had the surgery.
That's amazing. So a month doesn't give you a lot of time to prepare, but what sort of preparation did you do in the lead up for it? Anything that you bought that might help other people who are looking to explant at the moment?
Yeah. So one of the first things I did, because I was working with my practitioner, I called her and said, you know, I'm headed into surgery and I want to get as healthy as I can during this. So what do we need to do? And she sent me a list of things that I need to take pre-surgery and a list of things that we need to do, a whole protocol for following the surgery. So some of the things I did was I got a binder for after surgery, but I started building my immune system up with vitamin C, vitamin D, drinking my greens and veggies, you know, just kind of simple things. And then taking my multivitamin, things that I had felt so bad that I was like, sometimes I would do it, sometimes I wouldn't, but I got on a protocol of doing that and healthier eating and increasing that protein, you know, even going into surgery. And then after surgery, I did probiotics. I stuck with the multivitamin. I did gut support and a binder. And then 6 weeks out from surgery, I did a heavy metal. Well, I did a functional medicine detox, a liver detox. And then following that, I did the heavy metal detox. And I'm about to retest my heavy metals and hope that those look way different now, which yeah. I feel like they will. Going into surgery, I truly felt like I may not make it. I felt that sick. I didn't tell a lot of people this, but I even wrote a note in case something happened. And I told the nurses that, you know, when I checked in to have the surgery, that, you know, I didn't know if I was going to wake up because I felt so bad. And they were like, you're actually really healthy. You're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. You know, all your levels look perfect for surgery. And so I didn't know what I was headed in for, you know, feeling that bad. But I woke up from surgery and it was like the world was bright again. I can't even explain, like, the fog that I had been living in that I didn't even realize how bad it was, completely gone. And just like a lot of people's stories, I woke up with the glow and immediate energy. I mean, I woke up with like drive again and was journaling and up, like I couldn't even sleep. I was so excited about how good I felt.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to take a step back because I was like, all right, I just had surgery. I'm on meds. So maybe that has something to do with it. And I kept kind of waiting for that crash. Like, am I going to go back to how I felt before? And I just kept getting more energy and I was literally myself again. I mean, my husband said I got my wife back, you know, and
yeah,
it just the whole process of it. I had no idea all of those 30 plus symptoms I had pretty much disappeared the following week. The rashes went away, the smell went away, but just my drive for life and how I have the energy with my kids. I have a 3- and 5-year-old and, you know, for 2.5 years, I was in a fog with them. I was trying to be a good mom and trying to be present and being so sick, I couldn't fully enjoy it. So that is what I will never take that for granted again.
Mm, absolutely. So on the topic of having kids, having a 3- and 5-year-old, how did you navigate your recovery from explant having little ones? Because that's one topic I do see people ask about in the groups, and I can't contribute. I'm an auntie, but just a dog mum otherwise. So I didn't have to navigate that. So any sort of advice and how you went about that?
My daughter was 2.5 when I had the surgery this last November. And I was so worried about not being able to lift her and pick her up. Plus, we got a new puppy during that time. So I was so worried about what everything was going to look like. I had my parents come and stay. They stayed for 2 weeks, actually, which was really, really nice. They're retired, so they're able to do that. And of course, I had my husband that helped prep all my food for me because I said, as soon as I wake up, I want to get myself back. I want to stay healthy. I want to stay, you know, on top of the nutrition and everything. I want to start working out as soon as I can. I kept asking my doctor, can I work out yet? I really woke up feeling like I could go run a marathon the first day. But with kids, I was nervous. I was nervous about how I'm going to explain what this is. And I basically just told them, you know, mommy's been sick for a while and I'm having surgery on my chest and I'm going to be totally better. You know, when I get home, I'm just going to, you have to be careful with me. And so, you know, kids understand way more than you think. I thought my daughter at 2 was going to have issues with me not being able to hold her, but, and she's pretty independent anyway. But it was like they understood and they would snuggle with me and we'd watch movies and they were very gentle. The puppy, not so much. But my kids, you know, I felt like they understood. My daughter would ask, you know, do you still have your boo-boo? And she would point to my chest and say boo-boo, you know, because I told her to be very careful. Mommy's really sore. But it was that whole part that I was so worried about was actually way easier. You know, and I even felt like I was up and about pretty quick. So I didn't really feel like I needed so much help, you know, going into it. I thought I'm not going to be able to do anything. And I healed pretty quick.
Yeah. With your surgery, did you have the explant only or did you have a lift or anything like that done with it as well?
I did not. So I asked my surgeon if I should get a lift and he said, I don't think you're going to have anything to lift. So you're not going to have enough. I think you're going to look fine. So I did not have the lift. I did contemplate a fat transfer, but at this point I just wanted them out, just want to feel better. And like I said, I'm so glad that the way that I feel really trumps being flat again. I don't actually even think about it very much.
Yeah.
Definitely not how I thought about it years ago when I was so, you know, not feeling like I couldn't wear certain clothes or bathing suits. And I'm like, you know, all of that really doesn't matter. No one is looking at my chest thinking, whoa, where'd her implants go?
Yeah, that's it. Looking back the same, like mine was actually a deformity and I didn't even fit in a AA cup. So in a way, like I don't regret, I don't know how to say this. Like I'm glad I got them because I have ended up with some boobs left after surgery, but like looking back, how many times when I was younger or any time did I look at someone and go, oh, they're flat chested. They can't be a good person. Like that's not even a thought process that goes through so many of our minds. There would definitely be people out there that do, like, you know, that have values outside of them as a person. And it's just about looks where they're like, oh, my boobs are bigger than theirs. But like for anyone with good values, like that's not something that even crosses your mind. And it's very sad that we are made to feel like we need to go through that. To feel like that. And yeah, my surgeon did prepare me for, she's like, you're going to have very small boobs, like, oh, and like they might look scary. And I'm like, oof, and I'm fine. Like I ended up, like, you know, coming out pretty okay from it. But it's good that you had that conversation, that the surgeon was able to kind of give you that heads up. Because yeah, like you said, feeling better and not feeling like you're 80 years old in your 30s and or 40s.
Yeah.
Trumps having boobs any day.
Any day. Yeah. 100%. You know, and I had contemplated, I used to do bodybuilding and that was something that I was going to get back into, you know, after I had my daughter. And that was something in my head as I was going into the surgery, you know, would I ever be able to go back and compete and do well with it? And there's so many women that don't have implants that do well, you know, with bodybuilding. So I think it's just, you really can't, it's a mindset thing to just really embrace your body, love your body. You know, it changes, especially after kids and everything I went through. Like body is way different now, you know, and my goal, and maybe I'll get into bodybuilding. I'm not 100% sure about that yet because I want to just focus on my family and my kids right now. And that can be time consuming, but my goal is just to be as healthy as I can and to help other people, you know, get to the root of any issues they're having health-wise, whether it's implants or something else, you know, so that they can have that energy and live a full life.
Yeah. I guess that takes us like really neatly into our next question. How did sort of going through all of this then form your wellness business today?
Yeah. So when I went through working with Dr. Cabral and his practitioners, and I woke up from surgery with energy, I went back to school to become a practitioner so that I, like I said, can get to the root of the issues. And had I not gone through everything I went through, I wouldn't have gone down that path, I don't believe. So I went through the school. I got my level 1 integrative health practitioner certification, and I'm working on level two. At the end of level two, I'll be able to order labs and read labs for women, which is huge, especially, you know, with implants, we can test for mold, we can test the heavy metals and that kind of thing, their immune system. Right now I'm interning, so my clients that I'm working with now can go ahead and order the labs. We meet with my practitioner, you know, and come up together with that protocol.
Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah. I created an app that has basically everything. So you can do nutrition tracking because nutrition is huge. And, you know, I don't know for sure because I haven't heard everyone's story going through their explant journey, but I do know building your body up before and making sure that you're eating the proper foods after is going to help. It's going to help anyone, whether you're going through that or not, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm coaching women from all walks of life on how to properly do that and not feel like you're on this diet that you're not going to be able to sustain. And also the right supplements that their body's needing based on what they might be lacking. So within the app, I have the nutrition, I have the tracker, I have workouts that I lead, and I'm working on workouts for people that go through the explant surgery. On how to just rebuild that strength, you know, because if you're a mom and you're going to lift kids, you're going to use those muscles and it's not going to feel great the first couple of times. So teaching them how to properly do that, you know, so they don't damage anything and the muscles can heal.
Yeah, it's so important, isn't it? And even just having like a bit of a guide on the options to like, you know, the lower intensity options to then to build up to be able to do things again, like looking back on just before my surgery, I actually would have this weird cramping sensation in my right pec whenever I did any sort of heavy chest work or when I did push-ups. So I just had to avoid them. And it's only really resolved recently, and I'm a year out from my explant. So, yeah, having that guide, because like your surgeon will tell you when you can do things, but they're not a personal trainer. So they don't know what to recommend and when to recommend it, I guess. So they can go, oh yeah, you can walk or you can cycle or, you know, do things that don't mean that. I think my surgeon said, oh, you can do stuff, but not anything that you need a really heavy sports bra for yet. That was my kind of guide. And it was just lucky that I've got that history as a personal trainer that I was able to then go, okay, cool. That means maybe I'll just start with some leg workouts for now and doing, yeah. So that's amazing that you're doing that to help people, because it's massive for the preparation, the surgery, getting the body healthy before we go through a major surgery, having anesthetic, and then helping with the recovery. So
exactly. And then the biggest part is mindset. And that's with anyone, even if it's just someone without implants that come to me and, you know, want to live a healthier life. It all starts with the mindset. And I think especially when you go through the surgery and your body is going to look different. You know, I prepared myself. I looked at all kinds of pictures before, so I knew what I was headed in for. And, you know, I knew not to be hard on myself or freak out on what things were going to look like initially. But coaching people through that mindset of loving yourself after the fact. And then my whole kind of motto is going forth. It's my last name is Go Forth. So it's positive, but you know, you always want to be going forward and not looking back and not comparing yourself to what you were or to others. And so we talk about, you know, put the past behind, let things go, and then take it day by day.
You do hear a lot of people, like, very, very important that you mentioned the letting it go, because so many people do end up making themselves feel guilty about having breast implants in the first place. And that can probably stagnate their recovery from BII, because it's getting in the way of moving that mindset past it. But, you know, the impact that then has on the physical body as well.
Right. Letting go of that energy, you know, that you were holding on to. It's huge.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. When was your surgery and how are you feeling now?
So it was almost 9 months ago. It was last November, November 8th.
Beautiful. And how would you say, like, have you experienced any detox waves since your surgery?
I have not, actually. My energy kept up. I haven't been sick at all since surgery. I have normal tired now because I do have my two kids and the puppy and a business and all the things. But the tiredness is nothing like it was before. I mean, I couldn't get out off the couch or out of bed before. So I personally did not have the detox waves, and I kind of waited on them, you know, because I know other stories, and I know like maybe this 6-month mark might be something crazy happening. And so far, all the symptoms are gone. You know, my last appointment with my surgeon, they give you a list. They give you a list when you first go of all the BI symptoms, and you kind of check everything you had. And then my after, I got a copy of that list and I looked, and there's not one on there. I would say the inflammation took a little bit longer than I expected. I was wanting to miraculously drop 10 pounds after the first
like you hear some people
did not
do.
Happen. That didn't happen to me, but yeah. The inflammation definitely under control.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
Everything else went away right away.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Are there any other lifestyle changes that you've made since explanting, like any changes in, like you're talking about aluminium and deodorants or any chemicals that you're avoiding now, anything like that?
Yeah, I've pretty much switched everything in my house. I have a Kangen water machine, which I actually bought before I explanted. My cookware is all toxic free, makeup, deodorant, you know, and I would say to people, because it can be overwhelming to start researching everything that has toxins. And I tell, you know, people that I coach, you know, just focus on one thing. You know, each month, what's one thing I'm going to trade out and I'm going to make a change on? Because all of those things definitely help. That's why I'm really excited. So I'll let you know what my metal test and all the other labs that I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited to see what the changes are.
Yeah, definitely. And it can be, like, it's good that you're sort of recommending to step it out, because it can be expensive, but looking at making those changes, especially when you're looking at things like cookware and household chemicals, like,
right.
Yeah, it's a bit overwhelming. And at the moment, I'm not sure what it's like in the US, but, you know, the cost of living over here in Australia is getting a bit hectic. Making those changes.
I definitely say our biggest expense is good foods and good supplements. And that's something that we're not willing to budge on. So for us and our family, that's number one. My kids, they have, you know, their vitamins. I make them a vitamin protein smoothie every morning. And just trying to teach them, you know, how to live a healthy life, because I didn't, you know, growing up, I didn't know what to eat, and I ate quite bad. But all of those things do affect your health. You know, even early on when I was diagnosed with PCOS, when I started getting more into fitness and started learning more about nutrition, those symptoms did back off quite a bit. You know, they never truly went away. I have zero cysts right now. I know that for sure, you know, since the explant, but I definitely kept things under control with nutrition and my lifestyle. And I felt great for so many of those years, you know, right after the explant.
When it came to the PCOS, I did the same. I went down a rabbit hole of studying what I needed to do to alleviate it, because for me, it was right. Like what made me in my head confirm what the doctor had told me was the fact that I was losing my hair, and male pattern baldness is one of the symptoms of PCOS, and the weight gain. Like, it was really hard to budge weight. So from the insulin resistance is the thing that causes the weight gain, and the inability to lose weight in PCOS. So weight training is really good for insulin resistance, and also looking at your diet as well. But then, yeah, it turns out I've had all of the other tests done, because apparently for them to diagnose it here in Australia, there needs to be a presence of two things out of three. And I can't remember. There was like urine tests, blood tests, and scans. And it was only a scan that my specialist had looked at. But when I went to a general practitioner, she's like, no, we actually need to look at a few other things as well. And my hormones, I've had the same test done several times now, because GPs only were looking at that, like, PCOS test when I asked for hormone testing after my explant. That's a whole other story. But I don't have it. I never did have it. But because of the hormone changes that the implants cause, this is my analogy. I'm not trained to diagnose this, but you do hear about it. There's someone else that I've heard about as well who had a lot of cysts on their ovaries, and as soon as they explanted, it stopped. Like, they stopped having those cysts. So, yeah. And like I only had a bit of a moment this morning. Whenever I do any kind of stretches where I bring my knees up to my chest, I've only got one ovary. One of them got removed when I was younger, and I would get a pain in the other side, like when my leg was really close to my stomach. And I've started doing a lot of yoga and Pilates now, and where I do that like wind remover pose where you bring your knees up to your chest, right. And I don't have that pain anymore. So I'm assuming if I were to go back and have a scan done, I'm not going to have as many cysts on my ovary as right. I had before.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I know. And you mentioning that, it's so easy now that I'm through all this and I feel so good. It's easy to forget, you know, like you brought up that pain and it made me think of, you know, I was dealing with for 6 months, the shoulder pain that I could not figure out. I mean, I wasn't lifting anything upper body and I couldn't figure out what I did. That went away immediately. Just the most random symptoms that I didn't even think was maybe a symptom from it, but it happened to be on that same side of the rupture. So I can only assume it had something to do with that because it completely went away. And I thought that was just something else. Like maybe I randomly picked up my daughter wrong and my shoulder's messed up now.
Yeah, so we're too young to have that be like a, you know, without an actual injury, we were too young to have that be a thing.
To fall apart. I will say I journaled, and this is something I would recommend for people going through this. Journal before and journal after. And I did that so that I could remember, you know, what I felt like going into it and what I felt like after. Because like I said, once you're 9 months or a year out, it's hard to think back. And I look back now and I'm like, gosh, I can't believe I was living for that long feeling like that. Mm. And a lot of it I didn't realize until I came out of it and woke up and realized how bad it actually was.
How much you get used to it over the years as well. Because sometimes those symptoms can kind of creep in and you're like, oh, maybe it's this. Maybe it's the fact that I exercise a lot. Maybe it's the fact that I'm a tired mom. Like, you know, I've been through, my body's been through some huge things. And yet you get used to it and then suddenly you don't have it there. But then, yeah, like, you know, you're 9 months on, I'm just over a year on of like from explanting. It is hard to remember exactly how bad I felt unless I go back to, I didn't journal, but I did take photos and conversations I had with my partner about when we were trying to go hiking and I felt like my legs were going to pop. I was in so much pain. And I mean, I still have waves of that happening here and then, like here and there now. Like I think mine's a bit of a fluid retention issue, but yeah, you're looking back, you're like, oh, wow, no, I have come a long way. Like there is a big difference between before and after.
Yeah, definitely.
What's something that you wish you knew about breast implants before you had them?
You know, I get that question and also get the question of, would you do it again? And my answer is I probably would at that time because I don't think you could have talked me out of it. You know, unless you told me, you know what, at 40 years old, your health is going to decline. You know, only then, like only knowing that, it would have probably made me change my mind. You know, I remember asking the questions to the surgeon that did my implants, you know, is this safe? Oh, it's definitely safe. These will never rupture. You know, and one thing I failed to mention is I saw my surgeon at the 10-year mark. And I said, you know, am I supposed to do some kind of maintenance? Am I supposed to change them out? It's 10 years. And he checked them and he said, oh, no, you're kind. He was like, you could go another 10 years easily. He was like, you're fine. Yours are great. There's no reason. We just have to say 10 years as like the expiration or whatever. So you're fine. It'll never rupture.
You know, what so I go about my life. What kind of implants did you have?
Oh my goodness. They were silicone. At the time that I got mine, they had just come back on the market for silicone.
Right.
They were not even a year back on the market. And the surgeon was like, these are the new and approved. We tested it with a big truck. We ran over it. It never ruptured.
Okay, we started on those.
And I forget all this back then, you know, because I said, weren't these taken off the market? Like, isn't this dangerous? I was asking those questions in there. Oh, no, no, they're back out. These are the best kind ever. And these look the most natural. So you definitely, like, he pushed the silicone, because I was going to go saline like some of my friends, thinking that would be the healthier way to go. But, you know, he was pushing the new, the latest and greatest. And I went for it because I thought, well, I do want to look natural. And, you know, they're not going to rupture. So it's going to be great.
Were yours the ones that had the cancer risk associated with them? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So did your surgeon send like the capsule off for testing?
Yes, and I had one marker that was alarming, but if it's not paired with the other marker, then they don't look at it as a cancer situation. Okay. So I was alarmed. I'm like, oh, what is that marker? You know, and I talked to my surgeon and he said it could have definitely turned into something worse, you know, because many times the other marker will show and then that's when it's cancer.
Right.
So I definitely had signs that it might have been headed that way.
Yeah. My implants were in just a little bit longer than yours, had 16 years, and mine were full of calcification. And my surgeon told me that, and she seemed really worried, but she didn't tell me why. And then when, like, she sent them off for testing. And then when I went to my 1 week follow up, she was like, oh, I haven't got it back yet. And she seemed really flustered. And then as I went to go and book my next follow up appointment, that's when she was like, oh, no, 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 it's just come back and it's fine. And then she just left, like, I didn't get a copy of it. But I found out a year later that I had a gel bleed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that wasn't ever discussed with me, but that, you know, that's the risk of silicon implants. And like you hear people talking about, and I did it. I went to infrared saunas before my explant to try and.
Yeah. Same. Trying sweat. To detox.
Yeah. But apparently they melt a little bit, or like, you know, there's something that happens them like leach gel into your system. And then because it's moving through your lymphatic system, it's like speeding up the process of the gel getting through your body, which that's not great.
But yeah, I did a lot of the infrared saunas pre.
Yeah.
You know, because I was told we need to balance your hormones and your cortisol levels. So you need to sweat it out. So I thought, well, I'll go sweat in the sauna.
Yeah. And we didn't know. It was actually through another podcast. It was like a holistic doctor in the US who had a guest on talking about breast implant illness, who said, don't infrared sauna before you explant. Oh, oops. I guess I'll stop then. But doing it afterwards has been amazing. Like, absolutely love using the sauna. I've got one at home now because I was using it so often.
I know. We're looking at getting one for that reason.
Yeah. So good.
When I was looking to have them removed, I called that surgeon back and I started mentioning how at that point I didn't know I had a rupture, but I assumed that I did because the woman that did my ultrasound, she wasn't allowed to say anything, but she said something. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I'm definitely seeing something that's not normal. And I called and told him that. And I told him that I did a heavy metal test and that my metals were through the roof and that I have all these symptoms and I need to get them out. And it was his wife that answered the phone, but she was like, now, you know, it's not the implant. And just that fact that she was not believing what I was telling her, I was like, all right, he's definitely not the surgeon. But she was like, well, he could remove them if you want him to, but, you know, we would recommend replacing. And so, you know, that was when I was like, all right, I got to get in these groups and find out who is the surgeon that will believe my story, you know, believe that this is what I'm going through. So I was so excited when I walked into my surgeon's office and they handed me the paper. What symptoms do you have? I'm like, all of them. Oh my goodness. You're like, this is a real thing because so many people, yeah, I think more and more people, because we're talking about this more. But so many people are like, well, those symptoms could be this or it could be that. And all those things true. But if so many women that now that I've met and I see the numbers in these groups and, you know, then you've got people speaking out about this, there's no way all these people are making it up. And who would, like, I would never make up the symptoms that I was going through and the rashes, like all of it, it was there. And there was no other answer.
Exactly. Where can anyone listening today follow along with your story and with your business as well?
Yeah. So my business is Go Forth Wellness, and that's what it is on Instagram. And that's also my website. So you can read about my story there a little bit more and then all the programs that I have. And you can even set up a 30-minute call with me if you have questions on anything. If you have questions on explant or you're not sure what to do, I do offer a free call to everyone.
Awesome. I'll put all of those details in the show notes as well. And when we post about the episode on Instagram, I'll tag you in there so people can get in touch if they are interested in reaching out. Cool. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jenny. I really appreciate you sharing your story and all of the work that you've done to enhance your business so that you can help people post-explant. That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldit_be_ii_podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.